Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on Friday, November 16th, 2018. And I don't know why my advertisement is not playing. Okay, that's interesting. All right, maybe we're just going to have to skip the commercial this morning. I have no idea why that's not playing. Okay, this always happens whenever I have to take over. My name is Jackie Balestra, and I'm sitting in as host this morning for Joe Terry. Thank you for tuning in. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and I can't imagine a better place to do
just
that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-huh.
The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
Okay, you can find out more about us on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show or visit the website at www.thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And joining me this morning is President and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce and producer of Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, Mark Lips. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Jackie.
The I
show
know,
is already a free-for-all.
I know. Whenever Joe's not here, things tend to go a little bit off the rails. I take full responsibility. But anyway, you're here. You're here to help me out,
yeah.
Right?
No. I'm right here. I got your back.
Okay, I appreciate that. I know that you always have some updates for us, chamber updates, information. Boy, oh boy, I am getting a ton of event information from you in your newsletters. I thought it used to be a weekly newsletter. Now it seems like I get a daily newsletter from the chamber, which
no,
is
you
great.
Get – well, okay. So listen, what at the chamber, we have our weekly newsletter, but we always send out – email blasts of events and things coming up, and we're a pretty active chamber. I just thought we were doing our regular thing, you know, and I had a person tell me the other day, he said, man, Mark, you guys are like the Ever Ready Bunny over there. Oh, you know who it was?
Yeah.
It was the Easy Reader. They said, you guys are like the Ever Ready Bunny is over there because it just seems like you've always got some thing going on, you know, in interesting thing too, you know, the Heroes of Manhattan, our women's mastermind this week was just, really fantastic. 110 women under one roof, mentoring each other. There was a panel of really special women. The theme was metamorphosis. And I got to tell you, as a guy, it was just very, even though I was a guy, very cool to watch just to see these women all network and just help each other.
I know that you were very busy Wednesday because I saw you at the Gelson's grand opening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First thing in the morning, and then once that ribbon was cut, you were in your car and out of there. You had to go to the mastermind.
Well, I had 100
yeah.
women, 110 women showing up. You don't want to be late for that.
Yeah,
so,
it's going to be better
next year. We have some fun things planned for next year just to really treat these women very special, and as they are. They're really all excited. You know, just by the fact that you buy the ticket and you show up and you sit at the table and you participate, I think that kind of makes you special right there. It says something about you. And so you really have a room full of engaged, exciting of women. And it was really funny, and I think they really loved it when I'm removing plates from their table, and they're asking me another glass of water, please, Mark.
I like it.
So,
I like it.
So
that's good. That was a success. That was a huge success. And
I
saw that
even over and above last year, we keep getting better and better. We're going to do the Jocelyn Center next year. Still, it'll be November 13th is the tentative date right now for next year. And, hopefully we build this thing to where we have to go find even a bigger venue because we're going to add more tables next year. So
that's
great.
Well, I saw that you are also – you've got the date for your holiday party, and there's a holiday bazaar and other stuff.
Well, November 29th is our holiday party, and it'll be at WeWork again. We're going to have Vox DJs there. We've going to have we're going to hopefully have Santa there. We'll see about that. He's pretty busy. We're going to do a white elephant sort of thing where you don't have, it's not mandatory to participate or come to the party, but you bring a gift, don't spend anything more than $20, and you will get a number, and then the number is assigned to the gift that you bring too, and so it gets put in a thing. Gets put in a big line of gifts, and then you will pick a number out of the bowl, and then in about an hour after all the gifts have arrived, you go and find your gift that matches that number, all right? And then if you want to trade your gift with someone, you've got to walk around and meet people and see what they have, and that way it's forced networking. So it's a little different spin on the whole white elephant gift idea. But you have to do that if there's 100 people at the party. So that should be fun. And Vox DJs will be there. Plus, I've got this old-style magician who's going to be there. He was at my Bite at the Beach. I met him there. He just showed up, and he started doing magic. And I've got him coming back. And, I mean, you can be 5 inches from his hands and looking at where those cards are, what's happening with them, and he's still – just his sleight of hand is just remarkable. It's just unbelievable. You're really just going, how did he do that? But he pulls cards from out of his jacket and that was your card, and pulls out of your jacket. It's crazy. I'm excited to bring him. The what?
It's a little creepy. I always find that a little creepy. I've seen this guy. I've seen this guy you're talking about, and it just scares me.
Why? A clown scares me. This guy, I look at as
magic.
I want to see if he only has 5 fingers. I'm assuming he's got at least 8 fingers on each hand or something. It's just amazing what these guys do. So it's really fun. That, by the way, I just the holiday party. But also, I wanted to mention something else that I went to this, and I usually do. I've been going to this for years, off and on for years. Now that I'm working at the chamber, I make it a point to go to every lunch they have, and that's the Manhattan Beach Coordinating Council. And they had their first meeting where they honored students from all the elementary schools, the middle school, the high school, and American Martyrs. And they did it at the Bellamar. They're the best kept secret in town. I just keep forgetting that, people just don't know they exist. And they've been around for, Suzanne's on the line. They've been around for 100 years. And they give out almost $20,000 in scholarships every year to these kids. And I tell you, these kids get up there, and they talk and they speak, and you hear their teachers talk about them. You're going, oh my gosh, wow! As an adult, I'm feeling less than. It's just these kids are remarkable. What's great about how they choose these kids, it goes beyond just academia. I mean, these kids are chosen. I mean, teachers were using words like they're so kind-hearted, they're leaders in their class, their character. All of these things, demeanor, and this is what also their peers were saying about them. So it's really a fantastic group. So if you ever want a feel-good moment, I said this in my Happy Friday newsletter, if you ever want a feel-good moment, go to the Manhattan Beach Coordinating Council website and find out when the next lunch is going to be, because to see these kids get up there, it just swells your heart, and you just go, wow, these kids are awesome. They're great,
We're in good hands. We're in good hands.
Yeah,
we don't have
exactly.
to worry
we're,
about
the world's going
to
be okay, really, really fantastic. So,
All right. Well, since you mentioned, we've had some of these guests on the show before from Kiwanis, Manhattan Beach Kiwanis International. So we're gonna bring them in right now. We got a bunch to talk about with them. Mark, who are our guests this morning?
Well, Pat, the or Bob, the our guests coming down today are Cindy Carvel. Which I don't know if I knew this about Cindy, but she was born in Spain and raised in Texas. Texas, I knew about. I'm not sure I knew about. No, I think I did about the Spanish part. But anyway, she began her career in luxury home development. That's why I'm trying to get her to come over to my house and do something with that house. But where she gained vast knowledge of construction, design, and new home and lot sales. Her multinational background gives her the ability to work with both local and international clients. So. And Cindy and her family moved here in 2001. She fell in love with the California lifestyle, loved Los Angeles, came here to start her own family with her husband and two young daughters. They're living the quintessential California lifestyle. I've known these guys for a few years, and I love the fact that they really jumped in and gotten involved. She's co-founder of the Carvel. Professionally, the Carvel Fraser Group at Douglas Elliman Real Estate. But community involvement is very important, and she and her husband, who I'll introduce next, are very involved in our community, and it's great to see. And right now, she's currently also president of the Manhattan Beach Kiwanis International. She's co-facilitator of Leadership Manhattan. I don't know how she has time to do her professional gig. But another guest is Stephen Carvel, the other half. He's the Manhattan Beach estate planning attorney that has worked in the community for over a dozen years, handling estate planning needs. He was a member of the Leadership Manhattan Beach class of 2017, where he was class project co-lead for the renovation of Manhattan Beach's historic Santa Float. I know Stephen. He'll be forever known as the guy who brought back the historic Santa Float. He served as chairman of the Santa Float Committee for 4 years, where he managed the float's 5 special appearances and 15 nights out touring the community. More recently, Stephen was elected to the Board of Directors of Leadership Manhattan and serves as the alumni director. Stephen also worked with the chamber, by the way, to help relocate the old float so that it's now being used for good in another city. So it's a brand new Santa Float. Suzanne Carger is our third guest today, is a 20-year resident at Manhattan Beach, retired after a 35-year career in the fashion industry. She's currently serving the community as a Manhattan Beach Parks and Rec Commissioner. She volunteers for several local philanthropic organizations, including the Neptunian Women's Club, as chair of the Clubhouse Reopening Gala and co-chair for Michael's Learning Place, annual Drag Queen Bingo event. She also sits on the board of directors for Kiwanis Manhattan Beach as the director of sponsorship and chairperson for the first annual Breakfast with Santa on November 25th. So this morning we're going to learn about a couple of the Manhattan Beach Kiwanis events coming up, holiday events, and also a little bit about Kiwanis, the history of Kiwanis, but the ever-popular Santa Float and the first annual Breakfast with Santa event. So we're going to hear more about that. So Steve, Cindy, Suzanne, welcome back to the program. We're glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Nice ad-libbing on the intro. I like that. I like that, Mark.
Well,
you
a little
often.
Too much talk. Too much talk.
No, no. No, it's okay.
So.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Before we jump to today's topic, Suzanne, Mark mentioned that you're involved with the South Bay thing that he was talking about a little earlier. You want to just give a little shout out about that?
About the breakfast?
No, Suzanne, aren't you involved? Weren't you involved with the coordinating council?
No.
Or do you just go to the luncheon?
Oh, okay.
No.
Or do you?
No.
Don't even do that.
I
don't know who I'm
I
talking
don't.
To then. I just forget I even
right.
brought that up.
Never.
By the way, what I'm saying, Suzanne, is I expect to see you at the next lunch. That's what
Well, then there is that. There is that, because we do go in the similar circles. We're at almost everything, aren't we, Mark?
I know. I just assumed you were at that one, too. If I was there, I figured you would be there. So.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to the coordinating council on another program. Mark, maybe you could tee that up for a future program. All right.
Yeah.
So just right off the bat, as I mentioned before the show, Stephen, you've been on the show. I think you've been on the show every year to tell us about Kiwanis and your involvement with the Santa Float each year. But can you give us a little history of Kiwanis in general and the Manhattan Beach chapter in particular?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for having us. We always look forward to being on your show. I think this is the fifth year you've allowed us to do this and talk about the Santa Float, which we love. We can talk about it nonstop, and in fact, we do if you give us a chance. Kiwanis is an international service club. It has chapters in literally every city, in every state, all over the country, and in more than 80 other countries. Since 1987, there was a change in the Kiwanis organization. It began accepting women into the club, and so we have this morning, our president right now, who happens to be a female. We're very proud of that. There are more than 600,000 members in Kiwanis all over the world. Our mission is to serve children, and that's a very broad scope. We can do really anything that we want as long as it's serving children, and it can be raising funds to serve children, or it can be providing direct benefit to children. It started in 1915 in Detroit, Michigan, the club did. The name, there's a little bit of dissension about what the name really means. Some people believe it started with the Native American Ojibwe Indian language, a word, Gawanzi, which means to fool around, which we do. We have a good time. There's also another group that sort of believes that it started with another Indian language, and it means to build. And so we really kind of follow that. We build. We've adopted the meaning to mean we build. And what we try to build is good relationships in the community, and we try to foster children's causes wherever we can. And so that sort of leads right into, you know, what do we do here in Manhattan Beach? Well, we started here in 1955, which coincidentally is the same year that the float began. There's a lot of tradition around our club. It's a great organization, a great group of people. But one of the really neat traditions that we have is our president has a gavel and a bell. And that gavel and the bell are both inscribed with the year that Kiwanis began in Manhattan Beach. That's how I know it started in 1955. So that's kind of our story here in the South Bay.
I like it. I like it. I like it. Okay. So Cindy, you are the current president of Manhattan Beach Kiwanis International. I'm sorry. Did Steve say that you were the first woman president, or did I misunderstand?
No, I'm not the first woman president, but I'm just the first. I'm just the current president who happens to be a woman. One other before me.
Okay, you are sounding very low. We can barely hear you. All right. You know what I'm going to do? that sounds better. That sounds better. Okay. How long have you been president?
So I've been president since October, so I'm fairly new.
All right, and do
you
have that?
You
sound much better now. Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
Cindy and Stephen, was it always Kiwanis' mission to be involved with kids? Did I hear that?
Yeah, I think, you know, as near as I know, that's always been their mission going all the way back to, like, 1915. And
okay.
You have to remember that things were really different back then. There wasn't a lot of socializing. You couldn't just flip on your phone and get your fix of social interactions through social media. And so you've heard those are more recent devices or inventions. So what kind of evolved were these public service organizations where people came together socially, but not only did they come together socially, but they adopted public causes. So, you know, for example, there are other clubs here in the South Bay that are public service organizations, and they have their own causes. Rotary, for example, I believe their cause is the eradication of the polio virus, which they've been very successful at. If you go into the sort of the genesis of any of these public service organizations, it seems like they all have a charitable cause that they spread across the entire organization. Mm-hmm. Ours just happens to be the benefit of children.
So what
Correct.
Are there any children's groups in Manhattan Beach that benefit directly from you guys? Are you working with any groups?
We do. We have a number of things that we do. One is we have a scholarship fund that we give out scholarships every year. I forget what the number is. That's not my department. I'm overwhelmed with everything I do on the Santa Flow. But so we give out a significant amount of scholarships to high school age kids here in the community. Our biggest project is the Santa Float. The Santa Float takes a huge amount of time. I've tried to sort of quantify the number of man hours that go into it or people hours that go into it. I think in estimation it's somewhere over 2,000. Now, that's not all put in by Kiwanis members. That's really spread across 15 different organizations in the community, but it is a huge undertaking. You know,
Is that the number one fundraiser to provide the revenue for these scholarships?
It's actually not. So we really try to do things just as a public service organization to benefit the community without really trying to raise funds. So the Santa Float is not a fundraiser. It's a fun loser.
Fun.
If that's a word. We have really tried to stay true to the community and the small town roots and not commercialize the float. We do have expenses that we have to cover. It's not an inexpensive undertaking. We go through, you know, thousands of dollars in candy canes alone every single year. So the float is in fact not a fundraiser. It's a fund loser. We have some other small fundraisers that we do. So, for example, we run the Bike and Stroller Valet at Hometown Fair, which is a little fundraiser for us. There's a donation that's encouraged. We also run a similar Bike and Stroller Valet for Tour de Pier here in Manhattan Beach, which is also a very small fundraiser for us. And then generally just club donations is what we run the remaining charitable donations off of.
So what is the first night that the Santa Float heads out?
Well, so the special appearances have already begun. The first special appearance was this past Wednesday at Pier Lighting. It's parked in the Metlock Center. I'm sure a lot of people saw it there. Mm-hmm. The first night that we actually officially go out is going to be on November the 26th this year. So typically we head out the first Monday after Thanksgiving. And it hasn't always been this way. We're sort of a victim of our own success. It's gotten so popular, and we have so many kids and families that want to, you know, hop up on the sleigh, that the routes were getting longer and longer. It used to be that we would start at 5:30 and we would try to end around 9. Unfortunately, we would usually end around 10 or 10:30, and it was just too late for the little ones to get on the float. So we began, you know, leaving earlier. And then we started adding nights, and we're up to 15 nights to be able to make it through the community. So we divide the neighborhoods into 15 different routes. You can see all the routes at our at Santa's web address in Manhattan Beach, which is www.manhattanbeachsantafloat.com. The routes are up there. The public service organizations that are staffing the float will be up there shortly, just as soon as I finalize them. So we're getting very close. We're about 10 days away from launching from the North Pole on our first nightly route.
Well, I know scheduled for December 14th.
That's correct. The chamber is scheduled for December the 14th.
How many people can if for instance, how many people can I have on that float traveling?
Well, so when we renovated the float, one of the things we wanted to do was add quite a bit of space. So our original float, the float that dated back to 1955, could comfortably only hold Santa plus about 4 or 5. And what we started seeing was the public service organizations that come up on the float use the float as a bonding experience for their members, and it just wasn't enough to have only 4 or 5 people up there. And Jackie and Mark, I know you both have been out on the float, and so you understand or you recognize that people have a great time. There's work. There's a lot of work that goes on with it, but people have.
And it's not a short night. It's a long night. But
it is. So we've had to start leaving the North Pole at 4:45 in the afternoon. We need to be on our starting point at 4:45 in the afternoon. Sometimes that means we leave the North Pole a little earlier, and then we go as long as it takes to complete our route. And it's getting bigger and bigger every single year. In some areas, people have begun having block parties where...
That's what I've noticed.
Yeah, we come around the corner and there's hundreds of people in the street and we're just not getting through it quickly.
We've lost people on the float to some of those parties.
We have. And in fact, Suzanne's on. She's a Neptunian also. And last year we lost a few Neptunians. They got off to use the restroom and the float left with us.
That's so funny. Down the street from the clubhouse. And then they thought they could just pick it up, and the sleigh went in another direction. They're wandering around in costumes, elf costumes. How many people have you seen the sleigh?
So they were invited to all the block parties.
So the next thing we see, is a police car pulling up, and it looked like a clown car with all the ladies in elf costumes getting out.
I'd love to have gotten a picture of that. That would have been a hoot.
Wait, one minute. I just want to clarify for anybody that's listening that is not familiar with the Manhattan Beach Santa sleigh. They have a route. They go. They stop it as like in the middle of each block, and they give all the families and kids an opportunity to get up in the sleigh and take pictures with Santa. And that's what is the time-consuming thing, because a lot of people use that as their holiday photo. And because of that, Steve, you have started doing these special appearances. You mentioned the pier lighting ceremony. You tell us about the other one so that that you're actually doing before the sleigh tour starts. Tell us about the rest of it.
Sure. So that's a great segue, actually. So one of the things that we've always been trying to do is find an event early enough in the year that families can come out and hop up on the sleigh and get a picture with Santa that they can use for their holiday cards. We initially started doing bringing the sleigh and Santa out to the last event at Picnics in the Park. Concerts in the Park series.
Concerts in the Park, yeah.
Right. Well, so that last event's typically late August, early September. It was just too early in the year. People weren't really wrapping their head around the idea. So we've sort of always had in the back of our minds trying to figure out another event. And so Suzanne, this last year, came up with the idea of bringing back a tradition here in Manhattan Beach, which is called the Pancake Breakfast. And I'm going to let Suzanne talk about it, but that's sort of the genesis of this upcoming Pancake Breakfast. One of them is to give kids and families an early enough opportunity to get up there. So, Suzanne, you want to talk about the Pancake Breakfast a little bit? I'll just take over the show. I'll start directing, guys.
Okay. All right. So I am the director of sponsorship, and as you heard, most of what we are doing are service-oriented. For instance, running the sleigh, float. It's a service to the community, but I was looking for ways to fundraise more money that we can give back to different organizations. So one of our more senior members was telling me that they used to do pancake breakfast, and I said, that's fabulous. It's small town, it's old school, merge it in with new school, and let's have an opportunity for families to see Santa before it goes on the road, have a photo opportunity, and just have a simple pancake breakfast. And additionally, we are partnering in with Children's Hospital Los Angeles, who will be the recipients of the money that we raise. So it seemed like the perfect marriage, and we are delighted to have it on November the 25th at the Joslyn Center, and it will be 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and tickets are $8. Children 5 and under are free. So we're going to have the pancakes. We're going to have live music. We're going to have face painting, letters to Santa, and a whole lot of really fun opportunities, raffles and the like. But I think it's our first one, and I think it's just a great way to bring the community together in hopefully an annual tradition.
Yeah. What date is that again, Suzanne?
It's Sunday after Thanksgiving, the 25th of November. So it's the day before the sleigh goes out on tour.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, you know, those pancake breakfasts are very, very popular. A lot of the service organizations, in addition to the big shopping centers, do them. You know, there's a ton of them on my website. I get press releases from everybody doing the pancake. It's very popular. Very, very popular. So,
and you know, it's easy and it's kind of, I love that old school feel to it. You know, sometimes we forget that some of those things that we kind of experienced as kids are really fun, and we really want this to be an amazing family affair.
We are also going to have a
professional photographer. On our own Jeff Wilson, who takes a lot of local school photos of the kids.
Oh, my gosh. We all know Jeff. Oh,
yeah.
He's been doing that.
So,
oh,
forever, right?
Yeah, he does the Donald Duck voice to get the kids' attention.
He's so great. And so families will have the opportunity to purchase 3 digital photos for $20. And part of that will go back to Kiwanis. And if they choose to just do it on their cell phone or in addition to, we suggest a donation of $5 for a cell phone photo. So we're very excited about it because it kind of gives you an early start on your Christmas card.
Yeah.
All right. This is great. Okay, listen, we're just going to do a very, very short station break. I'm Jackie Balestra, and you're listening to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360. And this morning, we're talking with a couple of representatives from Manhattan Beach Kiwanis International, Stephen Carvel, Cindy Carvel, and Suzanne Carger. and we're talking about a couple of the holiday events that Kiwanis hosts. Two of the big ones, the big one is the Santa Sleigh float, which will be out around Manhattan Beach for 15 nights. Stephen, what are the dates again? What date does it start again?
It starts November the 26th and runs every weeknight through December the 14th.
December the 14th. Okay, so and there's a website you can go to that. And Stephen, what's that website again?
It's ManhattanBeachSantaFloat.com.
ManhattanBeachSantaFloat.com, ManhattanBeachSantaFloat.com. And Suzanne is Director of Sponsorship and Chairperson for the first annual Breakfast with Santa happening on November 25th, and that's going to be held at the Joslyn Center. All this information can be found on the Kiwanis website as well. And
yes,
that's all I'm doing for the break, so I'm back. Stephen, I wanted to ask you something. You mentioned that the last couple of years you had the Santa float out at the final concert in the park the last couple of years, but you said people couldn't wrap their head around it. The first year you did that, didn't like 4,000 people show up to get their pictures taken?
We had a lot of people show up. It was hot. Having Santa there in his entire costume was very tough. And we had, you know, there were more questions like, what are you guys doing here? You're sort of starting a little early. So this event, this pancake breakfast, just sort of naturally dovetailed into what we have, what we're trying to accomplish, which is just to give people an opportunity to get up, get their photo taken early enough to go out on their Christmas cards. A lot of families use this as sort of like the family tracking photo. I don't know if you've ever seen people take a picture in the same place every year or every month or whatever it is. So we have a lot of families that say, I've got these pictures going back for 20 or 30 years with my kids. We're just trying to give them another opportunity to get it, but to get it fairly early in the season so that they can use it for their Christmas card.
All right. And what are the other stops? So the pier lighting, the breakfast, what are the other stops for the sleigh this year, the special appearances?
Yeah, so pier lighting we did on last Wednesday. Our next special appearance is going to be the pancake breakfast on November the 25th. Our schedule changes just a little bit every year, and it's changed a little bit this year. Traditionally, we would also be doing the parade at the Manhattan Village Mall. That happens on the Friday after Thanksgiving. Traditionally, it's not going to happen this year due to all the construction going on in the mall. So we will not be at the parade. I don't believe there's even a parade at the mall. Then we'll be on December the 1st at the North End Business District's Walkabout. That's a Saturday event this year. On December the 9th, we'll be at the pier for the Manhattan Beach Fireworks display. And then on December the 18th, we'll be at the Farmers Market in downtown Manhattan Beach. So those are the the static appearances. And then, like I said, the moving appearances, the going out in the community starts on November the 26th, and it'll go all the way through December the 14th. And you know what, if I could, I have one thing I'd like to talk about. So, and it's sort of like how our routes are evolving. Every year we go out and we really try to get all the way through the route. But every year we catch a couple of emails or phone calls from people who aren't satisfied with what we're doing. And if I could I talk about a little bit about what we've done to try to really be more efficient and get through all of the routes?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay, good. So this is part of the message we need to get out there, because everybody needs to understand these are all public service organizations that are working very hard to provide this for the residents in the community. So as I mentioned earlier, traditionally the float would sort of leave around 5:30, and it started getting back later and later and later. And then finally, when we had a few nights when we were getting back after 10 o'clock and we just weren't able to see all the kids, we decided we had to do something about it. So the first thing that we did is we started our routes about 45 minutes earlier. And that starting 45 minutes earlier happened to coincide with the same year that we put a live Santa tracker on the float. So now you can go to our website and you can see real time where we are on the route. You don't have to even leave the comfort of your own living room to know where we are. It used to be that people would go outside and listen and turn right and left and try to figure out where we were by hearing the music coming. Now we have a live Santa tracker. So we started going out 45 minutes earlier, we added a live Santa tracker. Well, the live Santa tracker probably came close to increasing our participation by 25 or 30%, because now not only did people know exactly where they were, where we were, but they could find us. And so sometimes what happens is we have the procession of the float going through the neighborhoods, and we have another procession of cars that's coming along behind us trying to catch us at the next stop. So that sort of offset, you know, the benefit of starting earlier was sort of offset by the number of the amount of increased participation. So we did some other things. Last year, we actually looked at all the demographic data from the elementary schools, the public elementary schools, to see where the kids lived in the neighborhoods. We redrew our routes to try to equalize the number of public elementary school kids. We don't have any data on where the private elementary school kids, so all we could get was the public elementary school kids. We added another night. We've gone from what used to be 13 nights. We're up to 15 nights now. We've increased volunteer staff. We've started doing something really unique that we didn't do before. And what that is we send a Rudolph out ahead to prepare Santa's landing site. So, Jackie, as you said earlier, we stop in the middle of the street. Well, what we found is that the most time that we can save is on what we call the transitions, and that's from moving from stop to stop. And where you have kids that are sort of stopping or waving at you in different parts of the street, we can't just keep going. We had to stop. So what we've started doing is we've started sending one of our escort cars ahead as a Rudolph to sort of get all the kids organized in the middle of the block to pick up the stragglers who are at different points, so we can get them all consolidated in one place, get to one stop in the middle of the block, and get everybody up. And that has actually helped us to save a lot of time. So everything that we can think of to try to make the routes more efficient so that we can get to the end of the route at a reasonable time before the little ones have to go to bed, we're doing. And if anyone has any other ideas that they'd like to share with me, my contact information is on the website, or you can go to ManhattanBeachSantaFloat.com and you can send us an email. We're always happy to hear any suggestions that you might have. So kind of incorporating all of these things is what we're doing to try to get to the end of the routes. And so I guess my message to everybody who's listening is, I promise you, our goal is to get to the end of the route. We want to see every single child. There's no favoritism going on. We're not stopping longer at one place or another because one of our volunteers happens to live there or is making hot chocolate. We are moving as quickly as we possibly can.
Well, I have to tell you, I've done this a couple of years. I've been on the float a couple of times, and it's an incredibly well-oiled machine, you know, from my experience. You got to be very, very organized. Cindy, I got to get you in here. You're running what is a very well-oiled machine here. It sounds like between Suzanne and Stephen, they've got this running smoothly. So, what are you handling at Kiwanis, other than just making sure everybody else is doing what they're supposed to be doing?
I would say almost everything else. And, you know, I do help with just making sure that Suzanne has everything she needs, Stephen has everything he needs. But let me just say this. Nobody loves the Santa Float, and I love the Santa Float more than Stephen Carvel.
Yeah. Much
so that when I delivered our youngest daughter, who's about to be 4, on December 10th, he said, "Are you good, babe? Because I'm on the float tonight." So he left me with our newborn so he could be on the Santa Float. It was pretty unbelievable.
That's commitment. That's commitment.
Stephen, I've never heard a number. How many people can I have on the float?
Oh yeah, sorry. So we've increased the capacity of the float. The float itself can comfortably hold about 8 to 10 people now, and we can accommodate a few more if people are willing to rotate in and out of the escort vehicles. So the float doesn't go anywhere by itself.
Okay.
It has this year. It's going to have 2 lead volunteer police cars. At least 1 volunteer tail car, and then 1 on-duty police car at the rear, and that's
right.
That's all this traffic safety stuff.
Well, you do go
sure.
through some rough areas in Manhattan.
We do. You know, listen,
that's
you.
True. We need protection.
If those kids don't get up there and get their candy cane, they are not happy.
Oh, it's brutal out there. Yeah. Now, here's something else, and this is, you know, of course, the business mind working here, but you've got this wonderful new float. I mean, it is really eye-catching, and it's tricked out and the whole thing. Do you, as a fundraiser, do you rent it out for people to use during the holiday season? Can people have if they're having a block party in December, can it come over to their block party and things like that?
We've not really gotten to that point. I think it's certainly something we could consider. One of the issues is the float is a little delicate, right? So it's sort of built like a rolling photography studio, or you could think of it like it's a rolling window display, or maybe even movie set. It looks great. It always requires a little bit of maintenance and tender love and care. It's not super sturdy. And so one of my concerns would always be, you know, what kind of condition would we get it back in? It's something we could consider, though. We have not done that in
I would think you would have to have a handler with it to make sure.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
A couple of handlers, you know.
Probably.
Well,
who would organize
getting
on and off the float. Obviously, the block party. I mean, and getting Santa there. I mean, that's a busy month for Santa. So the ability for Santa to be able to be there, too, might not happen.
Well, let's just set the stage here again for anybody that has not experienced the Santa Float in Manhattan Beach. So it's this big, beautiful float. All right, it can hold, what'd you say, Stephen? 10 people plus Santa. All right, the various service organizations that staff it each night for the 15 nights that they're out in their special appearances are dressed up in elf costumes. All right.
Yes.
They pull up to your street. We got cop cars with the flashing lights in front. You've got the trailer cars. You've got music playing. You also have a bright light that once you get to your stop, you put this bright light on so that as the kids come up on the sleigh and get into Santa's lap and the families are taking pictures, you have great lighting. It's a fantastic tradition, and the Kiwanis team does an incredible job with this. But again, as several of you mentioned, it takes a village. So give us a shout out to the other groups. I know you work with the police department. I don't know if the fire department's involved, but you gotta do a lot of organizing to get this done every year. So who wants to take that? Cindy, Stephen, who wants to take that?
Let me take that because I happen to have the schedule up right in front of me, and I'll just kind of give a shout out to all the organizations. So the first shout out really goes to the city of Manhattan Beach. They give us a lot of support every year. You know, I joked before on your show that I run the Santa Mafia. We get pretty much whatever we need to make this happen. That said, all of the labor is done by public service organizations. It's not, I don't think, using much in the way of tax dollars to make all of this stuff happen. The next biggest shout out needs to go to Leadership Manhattan Beach, which is, as you all know, a great organization here that's really that's geared toward mentoring, fostering future leaders in the city and also people who are interested in providing service to the city. That's the organization that renovated the float 2 years ago. And then just going down our list in no particular order, if you want to know who's going to be staffing the float this year, we have, of course, Manhattan Beach City Council. They have a night every year. The Manhattan Beach Police Department itself has a night. The fire department has a night. The Hometown Fair Board of Directors is going to have a night. Manhattan Beach CERT, which is the Community Emergency Response Team, has a night. Rotary, the Rotary Club of Manhattan Beach, is going to be on. The Manhattan Beach Coordinating Council, which Mark plugged a little bit earlier, traditionally has a night and has a night this year. Neighborhood Watch has a night. The Manhattan Beach Unified School District has a night. Seroptimist has a night. Neptunians, who Suzanne is also a part of, has a night. The Manhattan Beach Fireworks Council has a night. And then the last but not the least is the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. And so you see these 15 different organizations that are staffing the float. What you don't see on that list is Kiwanis. We've given up our night to all these other organizations in service to the community. We're on there. We're around it, but we're not there to really to promote ourselves. We're there to provide a platform for everybody else and to the community.
So you have all your nights are filled.
You're right, Mark. I don't know if I could actually get people to volunteer to be on the float at the end of the season after we've already done all that. But yeah, our nights are filled, and we actually have a waiting list of other organizations that would like to be up on the float. So I have backup organizations who are on call if someone doesn't show up. I have other organizations who have said, put us on the list. You know, we did this many years ago, and somehow we're not doing it anymore, but we want to be doing it again. So we're blessed.
Merging organizations? In other words, two organizations per sleigh.
That could work too, easily, yeah. And, we do that. We also do a little bit of that. We started a traditional – actually, then-Principal Jackson started a tradition a few years ago when he asked to be on the float in the nights where it was in the areas of his school. And that sort of has spread on to other principals and vice principals at the elementary schools. They often now ride along on the Santa float on the nights. And then we have other members of the community that have said, hey, I'd like to be on this night or I'd like to be on that night. And we really try hard to accommodate all of that we possibly can.
Because some of these groups, can only have four or five people that they can get on the float or they have interested in being on the float, right? And so maybe you get another four or five from another group.
It's gotten super popular. It's kind of rare for us to have a group say, we're short or we only have four or five people. What's more common is what your question earlier, which is, what's the most people I can have on the float?
Right.
That's the question that I get more often is how many people can we get up there?
Yeah.
And like I said, these organizations, they have a lot of fun. It's a reward for them or a treat for their board of directors sometimes or however it is that they want to staff it. So they have a lot of fun. Some of them are surprised, I'll tell you, at how much work it is. It's a lot of work.
I mean, it sounds like it because you want to go, well, why don't you go more nights? And you're going, wait a second. I mean, that's every – I mean, for you, are you out there every single night?
Most years I'm doing something every single day related to the float, whether it's getting to the yard and making sure it's set up to go out. I think last year I might have done like 9 nights. The year before I might have done like 11. We're getting really good. Honestly, I'll tell you why. I've just had a hard time letting go and letting other people sort of take charge. But I'm getting better at that. People within my organization have said, hey, you've got to let other people step up and be involved. So,
boy, I tell you, after about the fifth night, I'd be going, yeah, I'll step down. Anybody wants to delegate, go. Come on
it's
up here.
It's hard work. It
I mean, to be there four hours, 14 nights in a row,
yeah,
4 hours
yeah.
a night. And it's not, and by the way, dress appropriately for these nights. And, these are at the beach. It's chilly at night. And that's the thing you learn, too, when you get on these, when you do the float.
Well, I got to
mention
that. Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah. I've worn the elf costume the years that I've done it. You go to the staging area, and there's ears and hats and big feet you can put on and little elf costumes. And I had an interesting experience with that one year, but I'm not going to go into that now. What I did want to mention was, Stephen, you were mentioning, you know, how popular this event is. And I got to tell you something. You know, Manhattan Beach has the world-famous pumpkin race every year. And
yes.
This started in Manhattan Beach, all right? And then it got so big. It was you know, a particular block put this event on every year on their street. And it got so big that they asked the city to take it over, and the city took it over, and it's one of the most fun events up here. And it's gone around the country.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
People all across the country are doing their own pumpkin races, not necessarily on the level, the size of what Manhattan Beach is doing. But about 4 years ago, my niece contacted me. They live in New Jersey. And she said, I saw this pumpkin race thing on your website. She said, we're going to do one this year.
They just took it to
do their own pumpkin race, and it's gone across the country, if not across the world.
Well,
yeah.
So Stephen,
we have such great traditions.
Boy, we're getting a lot of feedback here of something. I don't know why that is,
I hear that.
When Stephen was putting this float together, and we had the old frame, the old lowboy that was the previous float. He said, do you want me to find a home for this? I said, absolutely, go for it. And what city was it? But they're doing the same thing.
They went to the city of Downey. Yeah, they went to the city of Downey.
Taking that frame and creating their own Santa float. And so that float, that frame anyway, or that spirit of what we started in 1955, is carrying on into Downey with the frame of that float. The old float.
I love the traditions that we have here, like that, like the float, like the fireworks, like the pumpkin race.
I have to add.
And now breakfast with Santa.
And now our new tradition.
Right. The only thing I did. I have a funny story. The only thing when we first did the Santa float, when I first got to the chamber, I had a friend of mine come in. She was Jewish, and she said, "Mark, is the chamber our tax dollars going towards this Santa float?" I said, no, this is totally volunteer. That was money raised for it, all of that. She goes, okay, because, you know, there's really nothing for our Jewish friends. And I said, well, maybe you can put together a Noah float, you know. And I think, you know, that maybe it should be in the works next, is that float.
Well,
no one thinks that's funny. Okay, I thought that was good. I don't know
if you were done with that suggestion, Mark.
No,
I didn't want to cut you out.
It's a good, coming down your alley.
I've heard about this in the past, that people have questions. You know, there are plenty of other religions and cultures and stuff, but Stephen, don't you make this as kind of non-denominational as possible? You don't play the religious holiday songs, you play the Rudolph and the Snowman and that stuff. I would think that everybody could get in the spirit. Isn't Santa non-denominational?
Well,
exactly.
So we go to great lengths to make the float non-denominational. I'm not sure. I think Santa might have started in maybe a Christian tradition. I'm not sure. But there is no religious symbolism, intentionally religious symbolism on the float. We do play non-denominational music. If anything, our music is, we're equal opportunity offenders with our music. I've heard, Santa got run over by a reindeer about 5,000 times at this point. So we go to great lengths to try not to offend anybody. Unfortunately, I think we still do, but I promise you it's not intentional.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen, you know, there's always going to be people. There's always going to be some people out there that are just never happy with anything. They just, you know, they're natural, you know, complainers and whiners, and they're just never going to be happy. But I can guarantee you the vast majority of people are thrilled that Kiwanis takes this upon themselves every year to do this for the community. It is a great, great tradition. Thank you.
Right. And you know, the fact that you, first of all, the fact that somebody is complaining means that it's out there, that it is a popular, well-known, you know, tradition. And so, you know, that's kind of a sign that you're making some noise. That people like it. I mean, it's not just crickets. It's, you know.
If somebody's complaining, you're doing something right, correct?
Right. Exactly.
All right.
And,
so listen, we
and
have
I think
five,
it's the envy of a lot of other cities. I think they're just like Downey is doing it. You know, I think to have this tradition here, and where people are building parties around the night that the float's going to come through their neighborhood. I mean, that's listen. I remember when my kids were elementary school age, now they're in their 20s, but when they were in elementary school age, and we hear that float, we never really knew when it was going to, I mean, many times we just didn't know, but boy, all of a sudden we'd hear the music, and these kids would just race outside, and all the kids in the neighborhood are coming up and getting their picture with Santa. That was with the old float, you know, and, you know, I think the reindeer's head was leaning off to the side, you know, things like that. And it's just, but it was such a wonderful memory for those of us who remember that with our kids being young and the pictures we have. So it's really cool. It's awesome.
It's fantastic.
I got a high five to Stephen and Kiwanis for all the work you guys put into making that happen. Really a real asset and a real contribution to our community.
It is. Now, we only have a couple of minutes left. Cindy, is there anything else coming up, Kiwanis, that you want to mention?
No, pancake breakfast, Santa float, and then we'll go back to doing Tour de Pier. We do Bike and Solar Valet and then the Hometown Fair. And you'll just see us around, and we would say, please, we welcome you. Our member meetings are the third Thursday of every month. Check out our website to see what location we'll be at. So we'd be happy to have you. It's a fun service organization. We're just a fun group of people and enjoy each other's company and giving back to our community.
I love that. Now, Suzanne, would you please tell us one more time about the first annual We're calling it the first annual Santa Breakfast. One more time, the information on that, please.
Yes. It's Sunday, November the 25th at Joslyn Center at 1601 North Valley, and the time is 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Tickets are $8. Children 5 and under are free, and tickets are available either at the door or online at tlw.bz/Santa.
Okay. All right. It's that time of the season, everybody. Get out your calendars. Look up all this information. And by the way, my website is a clearinghouse for all this information. So you can just go on there and get you know, all these various different events on there. Fantastic show, everybody. Really appreciate you being with me this morning and dealing with me as host this morning. Okay, so our guest this morning, Stephen Carvel, thank you so much for being our guest again this morning.
Thank you, Jackie. I had a great time.
All right, and Cindy Carvel, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And all right, and Suzanne Carger, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And thank all of you for all you do for the community. And Mark Lips, thank you so much for helping me out.
Oh, my pleasure. I love, you know, keep in mind, too, all of you out there, ManhattanBeachSantaFloat.com, right, Stephen? ManhattanBeachSantaFloat.com if you want to know when it's coming to your neighborhood during those nights. ManhattanBeachSantaFloat.com. And on December 14th, we're going to be up by the Grandview, right? Isn't that our...
Let's see. You are Area 15, and yes, that's the Grandview area.
Right. So that's appropriate, too, because that's where my kids went to their elementary school, and so that'll be good to be up there. So I'm looking forward to this, and I love pancakes, so I will be there for that. Will you be throwing blueberries or anything in the pancakes?
Mark, we'll be throwing something in your pancakes. We just can't
tell
you what.
I know. I knew that was going to happen, and that's what I'm going to be watching for. If Stephen is there, I'm going to make sure that my pancake is pristine. I don't want to see chunks of whatever it is he threw in there.
All right. Well, that's our show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.